I am Conor MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod, and I am immortal.
Looking for a dead guy named Nash.
You talk funny, Nash. Where are you from?
Lots of different places.
I am Juan Sanchez Villalobos Ramirez, chief metallurgist to King Charles V of Spain.
Everybody's got their problems.
You're alive. Why didn't you die?
Hey, it's a kind of magic.
Hi, I'm Candy.
Of course you are.
Hello, and welcome to Another Time MacLeod, the only podcast to our knowledge to go through that wonderful 1986 movie Highlander, scene by glorious scene. I am your host, Rob Daniel, and as always, I've got a tingling in my quickening to say that I am joined by my kinsman, Mr. Rob Wallace.
And as always, it's a pleasure to be here.
Don't think Rob knew I was going to say that.
I don't.
And do you know what? My quickening is going into overtime today with the tingling because we are joined for the second time. You'd have heard him on the previous episode by Mr. Adrian Zack. Welcome back, Adrian.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me again.
Cool. We are now going to talk about what happens at the end of the scene where the Kurgan has faced off and defeated Castagir. So for those that like to keep track, today we are talking about the sequence from 1 hour, 21 minutes and 36 seconds to 1 hour, 22 minutes and 18 seconds. So that's 1:21:36 to 1:22:18. And this is quite a brief scene, but it always gets a laugh whenever I've seen it with an audience. This is when the Kurgan jumps into the car with the old lady, having thrown the old man out of the car, and then decides to take a joyride around the streets of New York. We only see the very beginning of that, but it's still a fun scene. So, Adrian, what did you make of this particular sequence?
It's very much a sort of 80s trope, isn't it? Comedy, hilarity, with sort of the out-of-towners, central casting. The where you going with my car, ADR'd over the car, screaming off with no concern for his wife.
Where you going with my car?
It's just a weird scene, but it's kind of, I'm not sure, it doesn't quite fit with the tone of the movie. He turns the couple's car into the convertible, throws the husband out. Says mum, which is just really odd. We've obviously all said that, but right in appropriate times.
Mum!
And then the next shot, she's standing up in the car, and then the next shot, she's clinging to the bonnet as they drive from London to New York, and it's presumed, with a coat over her head, and it's presumably to find the hide the fact that it's Keith the stuntman at this point.
The version that I saw had Clancy Brown's "Mom" subtitled as "Mum" in the English. And it's like, no, it's very, 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 very much "Mom."
Yeah.
Same as mine. I think it's a very regionalized to the UK subtitle track that's on the DVD, because mine was "Mum" and that made me laugh as well.
"Mum! Mum!"
So, yeah, this is, it is like an 80s trope, isn't it? I mean, it also, you say that it doesn't really fit the tone of the film, but in a way I think it does, because the tone of this film is all over the place. I mean, like, yeah, this...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you could lose this and it wouldn't make any difference to the film. I mean, you'd never find out what happens to the world, I don't think. I mean, there's no deleted scene or anything to say what happens with the car or where he goes or whatever, or how he learns to drive. But it's, I mean, the weirdest thing,
I would love to see a scene with just a conversation between that couple after, you know, I don't know, presumably, you know, if he dumps the car and she survives, where she just gives him the biggest telling off about, like, the fact that, yeah, he was only concerned, he was more concerned about the car than he was about her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That would be the comedy insert shot later. Maybe in Highlander 2, and I missed it, there's like a throwback, a bit like the Trading Places gag in Coming to America. Maybe this.
Yeah. Oh, what, when the Duke brothers reappear?
Randolph! Leave me alone, Mortimer. Randolph! Randolph!
I'm still not talking to you. Look. Mortimer, we're back.
Yeah, it's the old couple being, her berating her husband in the background. But it's a weird shot, isn't it? Because it's sort of daytime in the wide shot. So I think presumably they filmed it at dawn when they could get some streets closed or whatever. But the biggest thing is there's no explanation of why they're driving down that alleyway, because it's not a road. It is literally an alleyway. It's one car wide, and presumably they're lost.
I'm sure Rob has a theory.
Oh, Adrian. Adrian. Sweet, 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 innocent Adrian.
Okay, what's the theory?
Now, it's been mentioned on the show before about Highlander fan fiction and all the different stories you could tell about all the supporting characters. Now, it just seems to me that this couple, who seem to be very nice and sweet and wouldn't say boo to a goose, just happened to be cruising around the red light district in the small hours of the morning. I think that they've got game in them and that they have a history of this. They are clearly sex people. And so,
Sorry, is that what we call sex people?
That's a Partridge reference. Yeah. Alan Partridge. These are sex people, Lynn.
Lynn, these are sex people.
So it's quite a leap, but yeah, okay, we'll go with this. Carry on.
I want to read some scratch fiction about their about their holiday to New York and all the things they got up to before they met the Kurgan, and actually what might have happened after they met the Kurgan, because I'm sure after the initial shock had worn off, the old lady had some ideas.
Okay, we're going with this.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's not just Candy that's kinky, and it's not just the Kurgan either, I don't think. But anyway, there we go.
Yes, it's old woman in car and old man in car, played by Helena Stevens and Francis Dux, respectively. Helena Stevens was apparently American and working in England. Her IMDb profile literally says that. I think she was in some Morse. Francis Dux was in Dixon of Dock Green in 1966, indicating he'd been in the UK for a while. He also was in Little Shop of Horrors, which filmed at Pinewood.
He was, that's right. And he was born in New York in 1932. And to buck the trend of people who appear in Highlander and die at tragically early ages, he's still alive. So he's 90 years old.
Oh, we need to try and interview him if he's still...
Well, he might not want to after he hears this episode, but...
sex people? What?
Sex people? That's not how we played. I also love the fact, Rob, that you just went straight into the bios and just completely refused to comment on what I had said about my theory that holds so much water.
It's a perfectly cromulent theory.
Rob's just going to cut a whole sequence out.
The other theory you could say, because when she sees the Kurgan... when he's experiencing the quickening, she says, for God's sake, which I actually think is a really, really nice, kind of creepy thing to say when she's just overwhelmed by what she's seeing.
For God's sake.
And then when the Kurgan jumps into the car, she says, Mother of God or something.
Mother of God.
And then he says, Mom.
The whole help me daddy thing actually is now playing into the sex people.
That's the thing, you see, because so you could read it that they're actually missionaries. And that they've gone to the red light area to help those, who have been cast aside by society, like Jesus did. He went to the ones that, the ones that had been shunned by society to help them. So you could say that they're missionaries. But then when they're speeding down the alley, she says, help me, daddy. And I mean, come on. There's only one thing to read there.
Daddy, help me, daddy. Okay, my current title for this episode is now The Missionary Position.
Nice.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the title for the episode is Help Me, Daddy.
That's the title of my autobiography. Yeah. I mean, that's quite a backstory you've filled in for two sort of minor characters who appear for like 30 seconds. But, yeah.
So, yeah, actually, maybe one of them is there. Well, maybe they are both missionaries, and one of them is there for, to spread the good word, and the other one is actually there secretly for the purposes of sex. But the question is which?
Or maybe they're both immortals and actually they're gunning for the Kurgan.
Well, that would be a twist. but they're sex immortals, so they don't want to...
Great, we've just coined sex immortals.
Sex immortals,
they
yeah.
don't.
Brilliant.
Just shagging through the ages. Yeah, in all the... it's like in the Rose episode, in the first episode of our New Who, when you've got the Ninth Doctor appearing in all those images throughout the ages. It's the same, except it's just this couple fucking.
And he's still wearing that cap.
And she's got her rain bonnet on.
That's right. Well, she actually had an era appropriate bonnet. She just never lost the bonnet. So in the 80s, they've made it in this thing that doesn't kind of absorb and get heavy. All the rain just runs off. That's amazing. Because I remember hundreds...
Keeps your hair dry.
That's right. And it keeps your hair dry. This is all adding up, guys. This is all adding up. And...
Yep. Sex Immortals. Yep. That's where we've landed. The Sex Immortals.
That's the title for the episode.
I mean, it's still to do with, like, you know, beheading, but it's just that's slightly different.
That episode title is going to drive some engagement.
Oh, God.
I'm telling. Sex Immortals? What?
They've gone mad. But I don't know. I just think there's a story to be written here. Because they're not actually named either, are they? In the credits, it's Old Man in Car and Old Woman in Car. So we need to give them names as well. Ethel. For the woman.
Babs and Geraldo.
A Highlander spin-off called The Sex Immortals. Which is
Sex Immortals.
Which is just like...
HBO Max might do it.
Yeah, which is just like the Red Shoe Diaries, but in the Highlander universe.
That's right.
David Duchovny could come back and just sort of host
it. That's right.
Yeah, bookend it. Or Christopher Lambert, maybe.
Let's see if he could even... Well, he would guest, presumably, for an episode.
Or he could be the narrator.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, so...
So we're doing this pitch. We're going to take this to Sky.
To Adrian's point is, yeah, he would then be the new... Was it Jake in The Red Shoes Diaries? Was that his name? Anyway, yes, he would be the new version of David Duchovny, who would be reading out letters. And one of the letters is from Geraldo and Ethel.
Ethel, yes.
The Sex Immortals.
Who reminds me, it sort of looks like one of the sort of latter roles for sort of like Cloris Leachman, who you forget is an amazing Oscar-winning actress, but did sort of do a couple of those kind of shrew roles.
Yeah, and at one point seemed to be an immortal because she...
Yes, yeah.
...really did live to a ripe old age and was absolutely brilliant. Anyway, back to Sex Immortals. So I think that's the reason why, because it's like... Come on, guys. As you said, Adrian, it's dawn. So, you know, where have they been all night? Cruising that red light area, just going from establishment to establishment. Either...
Just been hanging out in the juice.
Hanging out in the what, sorry? The juice.
The juice. 42nd Street, you remember?
Oh, yes, indeed.
I'm not going to lie, Adrian. I thought you said a very different word there, also beginning of J.
Me too.
Oh, okay. Okay, I don't really... Yeah, forget that.
Don't leave it in. It's all on brand for this episode.
Yeah, the episode, the lost episode. The band episode.
We just keep throwing out episode titles now. Yep, now we've got Lost in the Jizz as a...
Yeah, who knew that for a, 30-odd second clip of a guy driving a car with a woman in it, there'd be so much to talk about, but there obviously is.
Or a stuntman called Keith showing his drawers off as he's driven out into New York.
Yeah, I was hoping that that Russell Mulcahy...
She did her own stunt.
Yeah, that's right. I was hoping that Russell Mulcahy would say if that was a stuntman or not, because I seem to remember reading somewhere that it was a stuntman, but I'm not. But I could be wrong.
Well, it's obviously a stuntman because they've covered that head, and it. Yeah, I mean, but... she's kind of sort of bird-like old lady, and there's this sort of big beefy bloke hanging off the front of a car.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's beefy, and it could be a stunt woman.
Could be a stunt woman, yes.
Who just looks nothing. I mean, I'm not saying that it's the actual actress. I'm not saying that Helen Stevens did her own stunts, but
maybe she did.
Maybe, yeah, indeed. But it is one of those where it's like, is that a man or a woman on the front of that car? And I seem to remember. Reading somewhere that it was a man, but I could be totally wrong about that. So if anyone knows,
there's probably some hilarious behind the scenes photos of this bloke, you know, with an old lady wig on and dressed with sort of looked like his grandmother.
Yeah. So actually Helena Stevens was, yeah, she was like Frances Dux, was an expat who was living in England. She was born in Wisconsin in 1921, but died in 2009, unfortunately. Now, was she, to show how deep the rabbit hole goes, she had a bit part in The Lords of Discipline, which I know you've seen, Adrian. Rob, have you heard of that one?
I don't think I have. Although it sounds on brand for this scene.
Yes, it does sound, it does, doesn't it? But Adrian, you've seen The Laws of Discipline, right?
Long time ago. I think it was one of the old Sky Cinema titles we had.
It was. It was because I saw it on BBC Two in the 80s and then was very happy to see that it was back on Sky Cinema. It's a really good thriller set in the 60s about racism and systemic racism in this American military academy.
Surely not.
And the reason why it was filmed in England is because no American military academy would give permission to shoot there because of the subject matter of the story. Now, that film was directed by Frank Rodham. And Frank Rodham directed The Bride in 1985, which starred Sting and Clancy Brown.
Wow.
Now, Sting, of course, was approached...
It's a snake eating its tail, isn't it?
Or it just shows that this is just the centre of the universe. Because, of course, Sting was approached to do Highlander, turned it down, but said for the role of the Kurgan, they should look to Clancy Brown, who played the monster in The Bride. So they approached him because of his role in that scene. So... it all just ties in.
Actually, Sting as the Kurgan would have been quite cool.
Sting as the Kurgan, yeah, might have been closer to how Gregory Wyden wrote the character, as much more a sophisticate. But they decided to go for much more of like a Terminator feel. To which Clancy Brown always says that he was slightly disappointed by that, that they didn't explore the fact that this guy was like a man of intelligence who had like, yeah, survived for hundreds of years and was very, very cultured, and they went instead for, yeah, more of like a Mad Max, the Terminator type feel. So back to Sex Immortals. Anything else to say about that, guys?
I think I'm still just stunned by Sex Immortals and the whole backstory you've invented for this couple.
That holds water and then some.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's changed how I will view the film from now on.
You say that as Jess, but I think you might be looking at it going, actually.
Yeah, yeah, enough about this. Look at those two, Sex Immortals.
So, Rob, anything for you on that particular theory or just any other aspect of this sequence?
I'm fairly stunned as well. I think I'm processing this. The fact that, yeah. What about the score? I think the score is quite effective at this point. With the.
In what way is it effective? Although I do agree with you.
I haven't made any notes, and actually it's all gone out of my head now because I think Sex Immortals has just...
has pushed everything else yes. away to make some room, so to speak. So you're right, because it is...
Well, the guy's got no concern for his wife. I mean, do you think he knows she can handle herself or, you know...
Again, I think that holds water, but it could also be that...
He's actually sorry for the Kurgan at this point. He doesn't know what he's getting himself in for.
Yeah, because actually it turns out that she's the Dom. And that's right. He is not worried about her at all because she's always the Dom in the scenarios that they invent for themselves. So he knows that she can handle herself.
Rob, we'll talk offline, Mr. Wallace, and we'll see what we can do about dropping this episode.
Yes, Adrian just refuses to sign a release form for this one. But the
Adrian, no, I'm not Adrian.
Who's Adrian?
Who's Adrian?
My name's Trevor. So her help me daddy is actually in a role play, a piece of misdirect that she normally does before she then takes. Sorry. Before she then adopts...
I mean, the Kurgan's already wearing a lot of leather. It's not going
to... That's right. It all just fits in. And so she's just ready to adopt her Dom persona. And the Kurgan, is already gimped up in a way. So there we go.
Well...
Bold leap. Bold.
Bold leap. Yep. So, yeah. So and the next time, obviously, we see the Kurgan, he's in the church,
yep.
I believe. So...
And you can't get more kinky than that. So...
Well, especially with what he does with the priests.
That's right, yes.
Father, forgive me. I am a worm.
You see, Rob, you just gave us a sequence where someone was driving down an alley and what lands we have visited.
Please call the next episode Licking the Priest.
Well, no, the next episode is Moran and Bedso visiting...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Visiting Kirk Matunas in hospital.
Which, of course, worried me, because they're never going to catch him, because it's the partner from Naked Gun, isn't it? And you just think, Jesus, this is not going to go well.
Yes, it's the partner from Naked Gun and Johnny Casper, so neither of those are going to be able to catch the crook.
Ed, file and call it.
Yeah, it's a complete detailed report.
Born 1942 in Philadelphia, in and out of foster home till the age of 15. Then he moved into Smith's home. He wasn't happy there either. Then he fought Larry Holmes. Last known address was a Mobile home in Alabama. Married, one child. That didn't work out, so he married a grown woman.
So, but Rob, to your point about the score, it's kind of like a pounding synth score, isn't it? Because it then bleeds over into the next scene when they're in the hospital. And it is, I mean, it's. I think it's like a, it's a nice bit of comic counterpoint that you've got this really, you know, big synth score with this old lady hanging off the front of the car. As I said, yeah, to your point, Adrian, this could be removed. It wouldn't affect the plot because we never return to these characters, but it's a crowd pleaser, this moment. It always gets a laugh.
We were easily pleased in the 80s, weren't we?
I seem to remember that it got a laugh at the screening we saw in 2018 at the BFI. So there's just some humour never, ever ages.
I just like how they've chosen that this is the scene that they've chosen over. They cut out a bunch of the cop stuff, you know, that may have created, you know, continuity issues. They've gone with, yes, this is the scene that we want. This is the scene that is the important one to keep.
And it's a throwaway scene that would have revolved stuntmen, New York location shooting. It's like, why? Just burn the money. It would be probably just as useful. Because, you know, it'd be quite an expensive scene to do for production-wise. And it's literally one setup of a car screeching out with a stuntman for you know, a cheap gag.
It's actually two, isn't it? Because you get the shot of the car coming out of the alley, and then it cuts to like another shot where you get more of the road. So you're right. It's at least a couple of setups that they did on location in New York for this gag. But I think that just ties into the mad genius that is Russell Mulcahy, because this whole sequence when he takes the roof off and all that kind of stuff, and the Kurgan going "Mom" and all that stuff, is like, this is quite like the humour in Razorback. Particularly with those two Mad Max type guys that drive around in that souped up truck. And it's like, I think this is the kind of thing that Russell Mulcahy just liked doing.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's a big dumb action sequence, isn't it? For no reason. I mean, it's giant American cars screeching out the streets in New York.
Yeah.
For no, it's almost like they need an action beat. So let's just chuck in a car screeching.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it could be that. It's like, well, I, you know, always wanted to shoot a stunt sequence on the streets of New York, so we wrote one in.
So you're saying it's Russell Mulcahy's French Connection?
I am saying, actually, that...
No, it's Sexy Mulcahy.
It's the French Letter Connection.
Da-dum-cha, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Most of the Immortal Fights do take, you know, underground car park, this alleyway here. The next, you know, the final fight is obviously the deserted Silver Cup. I think there's definitely a slightly kinky reading of this film that Rob has proudly brought to the forefront.
Well, Silver Cup sounds a bit...
Yes, the kink reading of this film, I think, now stands proud and twitching to attention.
Yeah, I'm cutting. That's getting cut.
Yeah, it's
going to
go.
I was just going to see how far I could put it. Could you bleep that? So that people...
Silver Cup and the Sex Immortals. There you go, that's the name of an 80s band.
I've just seen how far I could push it before Rob said, yeah, I'm going to have to admit, mate, that just isn't going through. but bleep it, just so people go, oh, God, I wonder what he said. It wasn't actually that bad.
Yes.
Right, so this could also... Sorry, go on.
Excuse me, I was just coughing.
You only cough when I give you permission.
God.
So, I think we've learned a lot about ourselves from this particular sequence in this episode.
I've learned things about myself I never wanted to know yet.
I've learned a lot about Rob. I'm going to go and have a shower with some Clorox or something.
I can't get clean. No matter how hard I scrub with the wire wool, I just can't get clean. What have you done to me? So this actually might be our shortest episode because you two are about to leave in disgust.
It will be like, what, 30 seconds?
Yes.
Of usable content.
Well, no, it will just be like a separately recorded piece from Rob Wallace saying...
I'm really sorry.
Yes, we have decided to pull this episode because of some disgusting things that were said by Mr. Daniel, and we are no longer working together.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll save that for offline.
Yeah, Rob gets cancelled. Another episode title.
I'll say, like, for a moment, you weren't denying that, Rob.
No, I'm sure there's something in here.
There's something that could be sent to the police. Anyway, so on that bum note, is there anything else to say about this particular scene or sequence?
I think that's it for me.
It's short and sweet.
Is that another episode title?
Yes. I'm done. Drops mic, walks away.
please just make it stop. I can't believe that I can't remember the safety word. The safety word would be Ramirez. So,
Ramirez.
Adrian, thank you for coming on again.
Yes. Thank you, yeah. I think.
Now, if people wanted to stalk you on the internet, where could they do that?
Instagram or Letterboxd, probably the two places I sort of hang out. That just sounds really weird, doesn't it? Hangout's not the right word I meant.
I think for this episode it's fine. And if they wanted to see what you have been watching on Letterboxd or see the wonderful snaps that you take and put up onto Instagram, what would your username be?
It's at SexImmortal. No, it's Adrian J. Zach.
At SexImmortal.
SexImmortal.
Yes. Oh, God, this is going to backfire, isn't it?
Only if you're thinking about staying in gainful employment.
Yes.
And Mr. Wallace, if people wanted to find you on the internet, where could they do that?
I'm a little bit reluctant giving out my contact details in this context. If you're looking for me online, you can find me on Twitter at Robert M. Wallace. You can also find my writing, sadly, none Sex Immortal related, out of all the film sites, www.ofallthefilmsites.com. Mr. Daniel and I have a separate podcast that's just more generally about film. And yes, sadly, not yet featuring the Sex Immortals. It's called The Movie Robcast, and you can find that wherever you're listening to this. And also, you can follow that online on Twitter, at Movie Robcast.
Thank you very much.
But then there's also your Highlander sex fan fiction, isn't there?
Well, that is coming soon. And yes, if you want to follow me online to just see the way I think, then you can... On Twitter, at Rob_A_Daniel, you can find my writing, which again doesn't feature any sex immortals, at filmstories.co.uk, lovehorror.co.uk, electric-shadows.com. More importantly, you can follow this podcast on Twitter, at McLeodTime. And if you've liked what you've heard today, and let's face it, how couldn't you? Please seek professional help. But before that, please rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. It is always much appreciated. It does help us with those algorithms that thrust us to the top of the list and stuff like that. And yes, and again, it's always...
Please seek professional help.
And I'm going to stop in a minute because I think they are going to call the police. But what was the other one they're going to say? Yes, and also, if you want to drop us an email... This could be opening up the floodgates, then you can at whowantstopodforever@gmail.com. So, I feel purged now, guys. Thanks for that. That was a good session.
And also, yeah, if you want to get hashtag sex immortals, if we can get that trending, then...
Adrian, thank you very much again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Please remove me from this episode.
Mr. Wallace, as always, thank you very much.
Always glad to be of assistance.
You did sound like you said that under duress. And thank you very, very much for listening.
Thank you.
And until next time, Adrian, would you like to take us out?
Another time, McLeod. Another time,
McLeod! Excellent. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Although, sadly, I may have to take us out on... Help me, Daddy!
What's that, like, 10 minutes in?
Help me, Daddy!
Help me, Daddy! Daddy, help me, Daddy!
Daddy, help me! Help me! Okay, shall I stop? Can I stop now?
Oh, shit, I wasn't recording any of that.